Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Elisa Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's beunique.org.
Thursday, November 4th, 2021. Listening to Unscripted. Thank you for supporting your Thursday community. Really good. Great appreciation. My name, of course, is Tony Taylor. And it's a pleasure being here. I am, of course, filling in for the great Mary Brotherton, and this is my second time hosting, so I guess the checks have cleared. I want to personally, for a moment, do some thanking, if I can call it that. I want to thank Mary, the unique president, and Jack Caltrades for this opportunity. And before we begin, I just would really sincerely like to say that I'm proud to be a part of the unique family. Where I have made lasting friendships and significant positive change by being a part of this incredible organization. You are, of course, on one of many aspects of Be Unique. You're listening to Be Unique Radio, and there is Be Unique Magazine, where issue 21 is out right now, and you can read it online. You can also subscribe to the Be Unique newsletter for events of what's going on and how you can be part of the unique family by volunteering. There's also original films and documentaries. That's right. We do films and we do documentaries. And Mary, if you're listening, my resume has been sent to you. I hope you got it, and I hope you will read it closely. Okay. The mission of Unique is to work today to change tomorrow using digital mediums to connect the world with professional storytelling. We work to educate, inspire, and foster positivity, creativity, and also throughout the world, positivity that makes results. So through video, audio, and the Literary Magazine, we are trying to make the change to make a positive tomorrow. And more importantly, we are a sustainable 501c3. To go. I think I got my housekeeping out of the way. And now it is time to begin Unscripted. Let's do one more please. And tonight, Scripted takes a turn with me as your host. It's kind of irony on tonight's episode because Unscripted is exactly what the show is all about. See, I found out that our guest that will be here had to cancel at the last minute. And every plan, every facet of what we were trying to do, well, it went out the window, and we had to create a new plan to bring Unscripted to you this evening. So we got thrown off script, but we're trying to get back on script, and we're hoping this is a positive thing. Now, we're talking Unscripted. It is my opinion, and my opinion alone, take it for what it's worth, that, living an unscripted life is inwardly what we all wish we could have. You know, life is experience, life is sensation, and life should never, ever, 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 ever be boring. Now, not knowing what may or may not happen, whether it be scary or exciting, all the results equal one thing. That means, as human beings, we are living. And that's the exciting part. Because you get up in the morning, you get yourself out of bed, you think you have a plan for how your day is going to go because you scripted it all. It's thrown in your way. Something takes knocked off. Now, you can take that with your perception as something positive, or you could look at it as being negative. But, you know, not knowing what may or may not happen, whether it be scary or exciting, again, all reminds everybody, self included, that we are living. And that is what life is all about. In my past life, or at least for 11 years, I was with the film industry. I worked my way up from the bottom position is what's called a production assistant. But while we were production assistants, we more referred to it as a poor asshole. And that reminds me, folks, this show is rated R. So, you know, you will hear such words as, well, let's give it away, shit, ass, damn, and fuck. Okay? And we can say those words because we are on the internet. What does that mean, being on the internet? Well, if we were on the radio, we couldn't do that. Why? Because the FCC has guidelines. But being on the internet, there are no guidelines, and we are free to say what we want to say when we want to say it. So let's do that again. One more time. Come on. Yeah. All right. Now, when I was in the film industry all those years ago, I worked my way up from being a poor asshole to the department, and I got into production management and became an assistant director. As an assistant director, you know, we had script. Script was our Bible. Script we followed meticulously because we had to move the day along. So I think it's important right off the bat to describe exactly what a script is, at least in the film industry, and really our lives. You know, a script really, it's a story, but it's more of a blueprint, kind of like, you know, reading house plans. You got all the material there. You got the plan to build that house, and that's it. It's a blueprint, and you're following it. And you think that with that blueprint, having, I hope you do, you've gathered all the elements, all the materials, everything you are going to need to build that house. Okay? But, you know, you use those elements, and those elements act as an important factor, and we're definitely going to come back to that. But in the end, when you look at scripts, it's kind of like looking at our lives. You know, we write the scripts for our lives every day. We, like I said, have plans we're going to accomplish. We need the elements to make plans happen. And we use those elements, hopefully, to get what needs to get done and what we set out to do. But sometimes, like I was saying, sometimes, you know, something happens and it forces us to go off script. And now improvise. And that's exactly what we've done this evening with our guest, having to unfortunately not be able to be here tonight. We had to come up with a concept that could continue the show, and that could, you know, provide you with this show this evening. And we are literally unscripted. So I hope you'll help me out tonight. I hope you give us a call at area code 516-418-5651. That's that number again, 516-418-5651. So while you're sitting there picking up your phone and dialing rapidly because you really, 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 really want to talk to me, I have some questions posed for you because I think they're important as we move along in the show. What are you going to do? And then all of a sudden you got knocked on your ass. I mean, flat on your ass. And, you know, and tonight, literally, I'm going to constantly ask you what happened and how you dealt with it. Because as we move along in this show, and you'll understand why, I am extremely interested, and I'm sure those that are listening are interested too, how it was you dealt with it. Was it a positive way? Was it a negative way? I want to know, because I personally, as you'll find out, would like to apply maybe more solutions to my life, because I have been knocked off my chair. And that further as we move along. Again, call me, talk. talk to me about it at area code 516-418-5651. Number again, area code 516-418-5651. I see you picking up your phone. I see you looking at those numbers, and I see you dialing. And you know what? That's right. It was easy. All right. As I mentioned before, in all seriousness, I worked in the film industry, and as that assistant, I used that script to completely guide my day, to completely move along the production, to meet the director's vision for how he saw or she saw the movie going. And I would like to add that I am available for it, so please go to mycinematic.com and let me know if you have anything available. That being said, those kind of things, you know, my experience in the film industry is probably the biggest experiences I've had in my life. And I can't help but apply those instances when I think about my life. It was a job that meant so much to me and something I had dreamed about doing since June 25th, 1982. Now, I know you're thinking to yourself, hey, how can you be so damn accurate with that date? Well, if you are a bona fide movie geek like myself, you will know that on June 25th, 1982, Runner was released. Oh, boy, we got to do this. We got to do this. And the movie Blade Runner was released. I had to do that. Movie Blade Runner was released. And I can tell you that I came out of that movie all of 10 years old. Okay, so now you know my age. And it blew my mind. It took me to a place I had never been. And for 2 hours, I was completely entrenched in that Blade Runner world. And it definitely made an impression on me, making me inspired to do what I did, get out of college, get into film industry. While in college, I went to film school because back in those days, you only had the ability to use equipment to make movies if you went to a school, because if you were a poor college student like myself, there's no way you could have any type of chance of using any type of equipment because it was expensive. But now, when you look at that iPhone in your hand, you probably got more than what I ever had in film school. You know, going back to movies, going off script can happen all the time. And when a character goes off script, it's not planned, and maybe he's sitting there going, hey, wait a minute, you have a script, what are you doing? The goal is always, even in that time they go off script, the goal is always to get back to the script, to get back to the story that you're telling in the movie. And sometimes, like, you know, a very positive thing. And a lot of times, really, I mean, it becomes the one scene, you know, you remember. And it can be a good thing. And let's look at a good part. Let's look at a good scene that did that very thing that went off script and has now become probably the most memorable part of this movie. I don't have to tell you what movie this is from.
Little Pig, Little Pig, let me come in. Not by the hair on your chinny chin chin. But then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. We all know what that scene's from. That's from Stanley Kubrick's Shining. It's Jack Nicholson, and he's busting down the door with an axe. Fun fact, really. Jack Nicholson started out as a lumberjack earlier in his career, so they went through a hell of a lot of doors. Another fun fact is that Stanley Kubrick at that time had moved to England in 62, and he was not familiar, I don't understand this, but he was not familiar with Johnny Carson. So when looking at that scene in the editor, and while he was editing, that was almost cut. And I don't know if we could ever watch The Shining without, out that scene. And, last fun fact has that here's Johnny been voted the scariest line in movie history. I don't see it, but that's what happened. But anyway, getting back to being scripted. That obviously was a positive unscripted moment because it personified the Jack Burns character that Jack Nicholson was playing, and it was unexpected, and it worked. And delving deeper into his character, we learned so much from the scene, but from that improv, from going off of script, Jack Nicholson quickly jumps back in, and of course the rest is history. I hate to spoil this, but he does die at the end. But there's something else that happens. He magically transforms into a picture, which we're supposed to assume that the hotel has now allowed him to join the rest of the ghosts. But sometimes, going unscripted and really not a good thing can really kind of disrupt what is happening in that moment. And a good example of that is this clip that I'll play right now.
And now for the next 30 minutes, as the world turns. From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th president of the United States.
On the day of the Kennedy assassination, CBS, of course, was right in the middle of the soap opera As the World Turns. And they didn't, and nobody didn't, know that President Kennedy would be shot that day, and everything turned around. That script went out the window. There was no broadcast As the World Turns. That was our unfortunate introduction to the assassination of John F. Kennedy and the mourning of the world at his death. Now, changing the entire day for CBS, they completely regarded, or had no choice really, to go off script. And this, I want to play one more clip. And this scene from Good Will Hunting is between Matt Damon and Robin Williams. Simplifies what we're talking. What we're talking about is having a moment where we completely go off script, and then something extraordinary or completely out of the blue happens. And even though we had no idea it was going to happen, our basic sense of who we are, our perception, our situations we're dealing with completely go into overdrive. And from that moment, back on script. It moves back on the script, and of course, the movie goes through its moment, and it reaches the conclusion. And in this scene, Robin Williams, go figure, goes completely off the script with Matt Damon, and I will let you guess at one moment what he does. But in that improbable and just off the wall improvisation, he manages to go back to the scene and capture the seriousness of what that scene was all about. And I got to tell you right now, this is going to contain some serious language. And you know, we can allow it because we're not FCC guidelines. But listen to the scene as Robin Williams, basically the king of going off script, takes an improbable situation and a probable set of lines that were not in the script, and uses them going and he steers the scene back on course. And it is incredible and adds so much to it. So, again, I want to warn those listeners out there that if you are offended by such words as ass, damn, and fuck, you want to turn the volume down. But I highly, highly, highly hope that wish that you listen to it and you'll understand exactly what I'm trying to describe and going off script and going using that device to bring you back up. Here's a scene from Good Will Hunting. It's long, but it's worth it.
You know, I was on this plane once, and I'm sitting there, and captain gets on, and he does this whole, you know, we'll be cruising at 35,000 feet, but then he puts the mic down, he forgets to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
And so he turns to the co-pilot, and he's like, you know, all I could use right now is a fucking blowjob and a cup of coffee. So the stewardess fucking goes bombing up from the back of the plane to tell him that the microphone's still on. This guy in the back of the plane's like, hey, hon, don't forget the coffee.
You ever been on a plane?
No, but it's a fucking joke. It works better if I tell it in the first person.
Yeah, it does.
I have been late, you know.
Really? Good
big
for you.
Big time.
Big time, right?
I went on a date last week.
How'd it go?
It was good.
You going out again?
I don't know.
Why not?
I haven't called her.
Christ, you're an amateur.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Don't worry about me. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, but this girl is, like, you know, beautiful. She's smart. She's fun. She's different from most of the girls I've been with.
So call her up, Romeo.
Why? So I can realize she's not that smart, that she's fucking boring? You know, I mean, you know, this girl's, like, fucking perfect right now. I don't want to ruin that.
Maybe you're perfect right now. Maybe you don't want to ruin that. But I think that's a super philosophy, Will. That way you can go through your entire life without ever having to really know anybody. My wife used to fart when she was nervous.
She had all sorts of wonderful little idiosyncrasies. You know, she used to fart in her sleep. Sorry, I shared that with you. One night it was so loud it woke the dog up. She woke up and go like, oh, is that you?
See, I didn't have the heart to tell her.
Oh, God.
She woke herself up.
Oh, Christ. But Will, she's been dead 2 years, and that's the shit I remember. Wonderful stuff, you know?
Little things like that. Yeah, but those are the things I miss the most. The little idiosyncrasies that only I knew about. That's what made her my wife. Oh, and she had the goods on me, too. She knew all my little peccadillos. People call these things imperfections, but they're not. Oh, that's the good stuff. And then we get to choose who we let into our weird little worlds. You're not perfect, sport. And let me save you the suspense. This girl you met, she isn't perfect either. But the question is whether or not you're perfect for each other. That's the whole deal. That's what intimacy is all about. Now, you can know everything in the world, sport, but the only way you're finding out that one is by giving it a shot. You certainly won't learn from an old fucker like me. Even if I did know, I wouldn't tell a piss ant like you.
Now, why not? You told me every other fucking thing. Jesus Christ. Fucking talk more than any shrink I ever seen in my life.
A piece of shit. I didn't say I know how to do it.
Yeah. You ever think about getting remarried?
My wife's dead.
Hence the word remarried.
She's dead.
Well, I think that's a super philosophy, Sean. I mean, that way you could actually go through the rest of your life without ever really knowing anybody.
Time's up.
It's a very important scene. That's Rob Williams. That's Matt Damon. I wonder what part of that scene with them you can tell was going off script. And, of course, it's Robin Williams. And he is talking to his wife, Barney, and waking up the dog. That was an actual – he really did go off script. And if you watch the scene, that laugh for Matt Damon is real. He's completely taken by surprise. And if really a film like myself, and you'll notice that the camera shakes because the cameraman was laughing. And I know it's a long scene, and I know it says, you know, some interesting colorful metaphors. Damon is restricted in how he's feeling and what he's feeling. And as they sit there, stare at each other, he whistles because he's not saying anything. The psychiatrist, Tom Williams, is not saying anything. And of course, he breaks the silence, talks about this girl, you know, he sees and doesn't talk to because that was what he was going to do. And then we get all of a sudden this whole monologue from Ron Williams about, you know, his wife farting. And waking up, dog, kind of, and you know, it completely throws you off. Actually, using that moment, that humor, that laughter, to really kind of push the scene forward. And I think it's brilliant, and I think it exemplifies exactly what we're talking about. To know, have you ever been pushed so far off your script, your life, the plans you have for your future, that you were knocked so hard that couldn't get up? Or do you have the ability, because you had the perception, to use that moment of, you know, of clarity? Is that what? Yeah. Using that moment where it was clear, but you were able to turn it into a device that got you back on track, that made you see conclusion. Now, I know you're out there. You're exactly right. You know, I have been knocked on my ass. And really, I got to talk about it. Because I want you to talk about it. Because we're going to take a break. And then I'm going to take the show in a little bit direct, a little bit of a different direction. We've enjoyed clips from these movies. We've seen they've been great examples. But I think the greatest example anybody can ever have is are those experiences in their own lives, and you know, going back to those improvs in those movies and moving the stories along. Those moments are the most memorable in your life, and they are the side of one another. They are either good, either bad. So we're going to take a break, and then I'm going to talk about how I was completely knocked my ass by a off-script moment, and go from there. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Beats Unscripted.
With summer right around the corner, so far things are getting back to normal. Everyone is feeling hopeful again, stepping outside, catching up with friends and loved ones. Just an overall feeling things are turning out for the better. At Be Unique, our overall goal is to inspire everyone, as well inform, with stories from around the globe, how unique individuals are impacting their community in positive ways. And Be Unique is with you every step of the way, making sure 2021 will have a positive impact and inspire the next unique generation. Be Unique works to change the world for a better tomorrow, using digital mediums to connect the dots of the world through professional storytelling. We have all embracing, all-inclusive heart and are always learning to create new things to revitalize and sustain old things. While recognizing our differences, we use positive and universal thinking to strategize for a positive outcome. We collaborate people of all distinctions to create a better me, a better you, a better us. By caring for others, there's no room in our hearts for hatred, racism, or egoism. So, let our visions heal and keep the promises of what we will be. One day, by living helpful, caring, and happy, healthy, and essential lives. With the wonderful staff and volunteers at Be Unique, we will continue to pursue that dream by making the world a better place for everyone. From everyone at BeUnique.org, to our readers and listeners, thank you for all your support. There is so much more on the way.
Back. Yes, I was tempted to hit that pause button, but coming up, my story, I can't really go there with the pause. When our guest was informed that our guest had suddenly had events happen in their life that unfortunately were not able to make it, we, of course, described it earlier. We had to, you know, come up with something because the show had to go on. The show had to be going tonight. And we needed something. And I topics what we could do. But really, in the back of my mind, what I really wanted to discuss was, and I thought that, you know, the irony of us sitting here trying figure out a show and really, literally, you know, being unscripted. One thing that was just completely going over my head, going on and on in my head was my own dealing with, well, looking at the script. You have this, hard to talk about. That's part of why I'm doing this. You have this plan. And in my case, it was a person. And it was my sister. And she, that last part of about a year ago, October, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and November 21st of 2020, she passed away. I look at these, I try to look at this underlining in the sense that, she didn't have to suffer. She had an incredible attitude, a better attitude than I could ever imagine myself ever having, placed in that situation. in my script, in what I was writing for my own life, Bill was never going to die. We talked about it once for a night, and I swear it was about 2 minutes. But, and it's weird because we all know, you know, people pass away. We all know that all of us aren't actually going to die. But I honestly never imagined that I would lose my sister. She was always going to be, I mean this, it's just now that I'm able to sit down at the keyboard and make an attempt to pick up where I left off of my script. I'm a writer, and part of who I am is what I write, and I couldn't even do that. You know, I have the elements. I thought I had the elements of my script in order. You know, let me explain that. In the past, if something knocked me off, if there was something that was going to threaten the script I was writing, my life as a living, I always, and I mean that, I always had a plan B. Always had a plan B. If I was going to use the job I was working in, I had already looked into other jobs just to have a backup. I don't know. I mean, I think I get that from being assistant director because, you know, in that position, it's imperative you have a plan B. If it rains, you better have some place to go. If you're a lead actress, singer actress, but continue moving forward. So, you know, I pride myself on that. This is happening, plan B. But as we all know, and we experienced last year, the quarantine situation, COVID situation, eliminated any kind of chance of having a plan B because there was no plan B. There was nothing. All we could do, and I'm not going to rehash events, but all we could do was hold up our houses and hope-ish that this thing would end. And even, you know, even for the first time in my life, not having a plan B, yes, I seen this situation coming, you know, so I had been thinking about C. I never had to go there, but, you know, still was fresh in my mind. So when I'm talking about not seeing the passing of my sister, and especially not seeing it, being afflicted with cancer, there's an emptiness that I didn't have anything, and that's scary because when you don't have anything, what do you grasp onto? What do you use as a foundation? I never had a single event, you know, just ate my life, and really that's pretty mildly, okay? On the outside, and constantly I was told, you know, you're grieving, you're grieving, you're grieving. And you know, it's weird the brain works, you know, on the outside. You know, I understood grief definition. I read it. But something inside of me said it was much, much more. And I'm wondering if there's any of you out there that had a moment where something just unimaginable happened to you, and there really can't be a word to sum up how you feel. There really, and not having any kind of anchor or anything to call it. Now, how are you able to go through seven stages and know what it is? I would be interested in how you define grief and how badly it affected you. But more importantly, if you're out there and you've had a moment or you had one that you lost, someone who was your cornerstone in life, someone you never imagined losing, someone who was always going to be there, always going to encourage you, always going to be a source that you could go to that would never fail. I'd really like to know, because I need to know, because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm still not there, and I know I'll be there. And by there, I mean, you know, the person I was before. But I could really use your help tonight. And if you call 516-418-5651, I would love to talk to you. Again, that number is 516-418-5. Talking about handling, I would love to say to you that on Thursday, November 4th, 2021, I had worked through this, whatever it is, because I am convinced that it's more than grief. And I had that question answered, but looking back on it now, almost a year ago, it'll be a year in 17 days. 17 days. I feel that every day. And I wish I could say that I've handled it positively. I wish I could say that, you know, somehow years and probably around 4 years now, dealing with people that have had substance abuse problems or have been emotionally hurt or anything that I've seen a lot. I have experienced a lot, but I've never experienced this. And it hasn't been a positive situation. And I think about a couple of instances when I was in the film industry where I never would have imagined, as bad as some of these instances were, ever handling it the way I have handled the passing of my sister. Give you an example. I was working on a film where the second AD, I was working with the first, and we were moving this along. At first, a really, really good guy, Steve. At the beginning of the shoot, he pulled me aside. I got to talk to you. I'm going to be honest. The director has a serious cocaine problem. So, I know you have your hands on the talent. I know that you're dealing with everything you have to deal with. But I'm going to send you ahead as we move along during the day. I'm going to send you to the next set, and I need you to find an area where, as we do our company move from 8 to B, from when you shot to when you're going to shoot. I need you to find a place that our director can do his cocaine and do what he has to do. True story. It's crazy. And only those people that are in the film industry can understand a bizarre situation like that. That was a shake-up. And then early on, when I was back in my poor asshole days, I worked for a producer who was absolutely insane. And I am convinced that there is Satan and he lives in L.A. She was just a nightmare. And so much a nightmare that in the evening I had to get dinner for everybody. And I'd gotten there. I'd put in my little gray wagon to pull over to post-production where they're editing. And because I was going through a parking lot, fell off the cart and onto the pavement. She had ordered really fucked up salad, and it was all over the place. Oh, did I panic? Did I go, oh my God, I can't believe this has happened? No, you know what I did? It was instinctual. I went to that salad and I stepped all over it. And I mean, I stepped all over it. I grabbed it into the concrete. I felt the dirt through my shoes. I did it. Now, that's a disgusting thing to happen, okay? And that's something I would never do. It's out of character. Is so just, you know, back on it now, I'm like, ah. But it didn't stop there. I picked it up. I scooped it up. I put it back in this little styrofoam container. I took it to the editing bay. And instead of being, you know, going home as I always did after I had served them lunch as an indentured slave, I sat there and I watched them eat that salad. And it was probably the secondest day of my life on that shoot. First, of course, being the last day. But I have not handled the situation. I'm sorry, go back to those instances, because even in those insane moments, I never sought to self-medicate. And I'm going to be honest with you, because like the first meeting with my counselor, this doesn't work. It doesn't work unless you're honest. And with you, I tell you that I have done things during this time. I have gone against everything that I knew would hurt me. And although I can say I'm doing better, I'm not. I work at trying to find answers. I work at trying to pull myself as a writer, as a movie guy. I'm always researching. I'm always working to find an answer. Why is probably why? Probably my most asked question. But this moment that I'm dealing with the passing of my sister is tough. And when you're in a situation like this, when something is so piercing to your soul, you can call it grief, so not be afraid to know that it's something more. And what I've been trying to do is take that pain. And it's constant. I mean, it follows me. It's on me. It's with me 24/7. I used to talk to my sister on Saturdays because I couldn't see her because we were quarantined during COVID. I still wake up on Saturdays, and to be honest to God truth, I still wake up on Saturdays thinking I have to call my sister. And I'm sorry, that goes beyond grief. I guess you could say it is a form of grief. It's been a challenge. It's been tough. But, me doing show, me being able to talk to you right now is it's a positive moment that's allowing me to know that there are cracks in this devastation. There are patches that are healing. There are fixes that are going to happen down the line. And I just have to do the work. And that's what all of us really have to do. I mean, sometimes it becomes impossible to imagine ever working through something like that. And believe me, I've done it almost every day since November 21st. But me doing the show, me being able, I'm writing a series of articles right now, and it's amazing to me. Lost in the past, my sister was my care. I cared about anything. I haven't cared about anything. I've cared about myself. I haven't cared about jobs. I haven't cared about anything. And losing that is something that I have never experienced. And that's probably more painful than what I'm defining pain as a period of my soul. You lose the ability to have empathy. You've lost your life. You lose your ability to care for somebody. Why is life living? I mean, why do you live life? I don't want to go into as in the behaviors I've shown and the remedies I thought were remedies. But let's just say their pathways, their hallways, their doors I never thought I'd open. But being with you tonight, doing the show right now, tells me that I can at least overcome and at least start caring again, at least start knowing that self-medicating is never going to get me anywhere. It's only the ability to find a change of perception within myself that's going to lead me in the direction I need to go. It's going to give me the elements that I had. It's going to restore my creativity. It's going to make me the closest I can get to the person I was. And it's a hard road. And it's hard to travel. And I am not looking forward to even continuing it, but I know it has to be done. And we're getting real close to the end, and I really want to thank Beanique. I really want to thank you for listening, because I hope I've touched you, and I hope maybe you'll walk away from this with something that can help you if you're going through this type of thing. But don't be greedy. This is really, really healthy, and I really appreciate the opportunity to take time when we were so lost at the beginning and find a direction, and I really appreciate being able to share with you. Before we leave, I'd like to play one more clip about two people that go through a horribly trying time and how they
I think he'll ever get out of here.
Me?
Yeah. One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
I'll tell you where I'd go. To Watanil.
To what?
To Watanil. In Mexico. A little place on the Pacific Ocean. You know what the Mexicans say about the Pacific?
No.
They say it has no memory. That's where I want to live the rest of my life. A warm place with no memory. Open up a little hotel. Right on the beach. Buy some worthless old boat and fix it up new. Take my guests out. Charter fishing.
Say what to nail.
In a place like that, I could use a man that knows how to get things.
I don't think I could make it on the outside, Andy. I've been in here most of my life. I'm an institutional man now. It's like Brooks was.
Well, you underestimate yourself.
I don't think so. In here, I'm the guy who can get things for you, sure, but outside, all you need is the yellow pages. Hell, I wouldn't even know where to begin. Pacific Ocean?
Shit.
About to scare me to death, something that big.
Not me. I didn't shoot my wife, and I didn't shoot her lover. Whatever mistakes I made, I paid for them, and then some. That hotel, that boat, I don't think that's too much to ask.
I don't think you ought to be doing this to yourself, Andy. This is just shitty pipe dreams. I mean, Mexico is way the hell down there, and you're in here, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, right. That's the way it is. It's down there, and I'm in here. I guess it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living, or get busy dying.
Get busy living or get busy dying. That's goddamn right.
One thing I did fail to mention about scripts is sometimes you don't have to get to the conclusion. There is the ability to rewrite. And scripts go through a lot of rewrites. And maybe that's what I need, and maybe that's what you need. I really would like to thank you for joining me tonight, and really would like to thank you for allowing me to share this. And I hope you walk away with a better feeling. And as you pick up your pen, to finish your script, to continue your script, know that you can rewrite. It can change. It can change. It can happen. You don't have to continue on. Maybe your script was painful. There is that ability to rewrite. And rewriting a script is a very, very common practice in the film industry. And it can be a very, very, very common practice in our lives. So thank you for letting me be on screen, and have a good evening.